Lord, we give you thanks for this first convening session of this Counseling God's Way class. Lord, I thank you for each one of these lives that are with us now and those who will share with us by tape or video. Pray you bless and touch and teach and mold and shape and speak to us. We consecrate this time, Lord, to your work in our lives, your will, your honor, your glory. We ask you to make it a part of your great promise when you said you would build your church. Use these times. Use our lives. Lord, we thank you for the Scriptures. We just treasure them. They're such a great gift from you. And even more, we treasure the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The one who even takes us, guides us into all the truth, and takes the things of Jesus Christ and makes them ours. And Lord, we ask you to enlighten us. Convict us, encourage us, comfort us, sort things out for us, equip us, do the things that are pleasing in your sight. We just open up to you and cry out for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And throughout this course, may it be grace upon grace. And as the word goes forth and as we receive it, may there be great grace upon us that we might have a great proclamation of the things of Jesus Christ. We ask in his mighty name. Amen. Counseling God's Way. A few introductory thoughts, and the introduction on page 1, let's use that not for just the study in this visit, but for the entire course. Threefold purpose of this course. Number 1, to let God counsel us a bit His way. Every believer needs the counsel of God regularly. Don't buy the thinking of man that counseling is for the weirdos, the psychotic, the seriously troubled. It's not for us who are only half weird, you know. Don't buy it. We all need God's counsel regularly. As I've taught on this subject across the country now for a few years and overseas a lot, I have found that the biggest thing God does as we study this subject of counseling God's way, I find the biggest thing God does is He counsels us. And what greater thing than that? What greater thing to ask out of this course but that God would counsel us along the way? Second purpose of the class, to allow God to equip us a bit. To equip us a bit to give counsel His way. Another great biblical truth is that all of us, every Christian, we're all called on to give God's counsel periodically. Don't buy into the humanistic thinking of the world. The counseling is just for the human experts. No, we're all called in the kingdom of God. Every Christian is called to be involved in giving and receiving of counsel. So, because we'll be needing counsel regularly, let's ask the Lord to give us counsel. Because God wants to use us to counsel others periodically, let's ask God to equip us to counsel a bit His way. And then number 3, and this, if you're looking at our outline, the top of the first page after the outline of the course, it might help you with the notes. I'm going right down. We're on page 2 of your course packet. And the top of the page says what counseling is. And under the Lord is Counselor, there's the heading Introduction. And we'll start there and just go right down the headings and Scripture. There is room to take notes. If you want to take supplementary notes, you're welcome. Some like to take it on separate sheets and then transfer, you know, kind of thought through notes onto this. So just do it any way that, you know, is comfortable for you. So the first 2 general purposes of the course. To let God counsel us a bit, number 1. Number 2, to allow God to equip us a bit to give counsel. And then number three, to have God warn us concerning counseling man's way. All of us face that continually. Sometimes we notice it, sometimes we don't. The world has its way to counsel, and God has His way to counsel. The amazing thing that's been going on in the church for some years now is the church is trying to learn the ways of man's counseling and bring it into the church. And it's changing radically the counseling ministry of the church and how Christians view counseling. What it is, where to get it, what to do with it, what it should look like. And we need to be warned concerning counseling man's way. It's one of the deadening influences, not only in the American church, but in the church worldwide. And I've run into this issue all over the place. I mean, whether it's Kiev, Moscow, Sydney, Australia, or off in the wild, wild west of the Philippine Islands like Mindanao Island. Counseling man's way is coming into the church. And the Lord wants to warn us. We want to approach the subject this way. First, get counsel and get equipped, because that's the way the Word approaches every issue, really. Gives us the truth we need and equips us to share it with others. But the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation give a constant warning theme about what isn't right, but maybe looks and sounds right. Classic example of that, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the truth. That's what we need to hear. That's the truth. It touches us, and then we can touch others with that truth. But not too long after, the Lord Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These were the two major religious leadership groups in the nation, in the chosen nation of Israel. And their teaching had a leaven in it, a corrupting influence. And Jesus didn't just say, here's the truth, now watch out, everything you hear isn't true. That's a good warning too. We need to hear that, just to be on the alert. He went far beyond that. He said, here's the truth, and watch those two groups out there. Major authoritative groups with the biggest following in all of Judaism. Watch out for them. They've got a leaven in their teaching that corrupts. And we'll be doing that along the way too. Not in any way to try and take on some self-righteous air like we know everything and somebody else knows nothing. No way. Only God knows everything, and man needs always to learn more no matter what God has taught him. But just to be true to the Word, to the way the Lord deals with truth and the way He touches our lives. My own history of involvement in this arena of ministry, the Lord has let me teach His Word now for 29 years. And first year as Sunday school teacher, then a youth pastor, and then the third year teaching, the Word was pastoring. And then the Lord let me pastor in Dallas, Texas for 14 years. Then to Calvary Chapel Irvine in Orange County for 11 years. And in 25 years of pastoral ministry, through thousands and thousands of counseling situations, God gave me a heart for counseling ministry. I saw in the practical experience of the people of God how important it was. I saw in the Word of God increasingly how God had ordained it. It's just part of church life. God's put it there, and it's critical. And then about 15 or 20 years ago, right in that range, I began to notice counseling approaches coming into the Church of Jesus Christ that were undermining the way God had always ordained to do it. And before I knew it, I was doing a lot of study and teaching on this subject. 5 years ago, it was, I believe, at Calvary Chapel of Irvine, I was still pastoring there. We did a series of Bible studies And I often did some book studies and through the Word, then interspersed it with topical studies. And we'd done a long expositional verse-by-verse study, and we're going to do an expositional biblical topical study. And the subject was going to be biblical counseling. And I told the folks, I don't know how long this study is going to take. I think it's going to be one of the longer ones. I usually did the topical studies 8, 10, or 12 units of study. You know, on things all the way from the Holy Spirit to the grace of God to the Word of God, the law of God, you name it. And I said, this might be one of the longer ones, you know, maybe 12, 15, maybe even 18 studies. And all I had before me was a mountain, a literal mountain of Scripture verses. God laid on my heart strongly, don't make this a research project. There are a lot of great researchers out there. Some are worldly, some are godly. And the world's doing it their way, and there's some godly researchers, you know, Dave Hunts and Hank Hanegraaffs and others, and the Bobkins and Ed Bulkley, both a researcher and a teacher. There are plenty of researchers out there. Bob, you're a pastor teacher. Just feed these sheep the Word of God on this subject. And I didn't do any basic outside research. Now, I'd read through the years a few books by Jay Adams, whom I respect greatly. I'd read some other books that troubled me greatly. But basically, I'm not a researcher. I love to read, but as the years have gone on, I've read other things less and less, and the Word of God more and more. And this was not a research project. It was a Bible study teaching project. And all that was in front of me were just mountains of Scripture that the Lord had led me to through the years. And as I began to prepare to teach, led me out into many other arenas. And I just went before the Lord in prayer, with just the Word of God and prayer and God's faithfulness and the work of His Spirit. And actually, the outline you have for this course came out of that study in those days of prayer. The Lord literally counseled me through the study step by step. I didn't have a clue where to begin, let alone where to go second, let alone that it was going to end up 22 one-hour studies, an hour Sunday morning, an hour Wednesday night for 11 straight weeks. And let alone did I know that it would fall into five or six segments, and this would be part of that. But step by step it unfolded, and when it was all done, I looked back, I was almost overwhelmed by the biblical spiritual logic of it all. It's like, wow, Lord, you've been speaking to us, haven't you? I mean, you said you're a wonderful counselor, and my goodness, if anyone needed it, I did. You know, I know this is an important arena, Lord, but where to begin and where to go, and let it stand just on what you say and not a lot of human experts, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, just what you have to say. And then, for years, Calvary Chapel Irvine, Calvary Chapel Vista, Calvary Chapel Lompoc, we're having church camp together, and I sent out a letter at the suggestion of one of our elders at Calvary Irvine to every Calvary Chapel pastor in the world where there was an address for them, and offered to give them a gift of those 22 tapes if they could use them in their ministry. Well, we were not quite prepared for what happened. For 20-some years, Living in Christ Ministries, which had grown out of the first church I pastored in Dallas, was on radio and having meetings and now and then a conference and sending out tapes. And we were sending them out by the thousands year by year. Well, overnight, we were sending them out by the tens of thousands. I mean, overnight. And so many multiplied times more tapes went out on that than anything I'd ever taught up to that point in 20-some years of ministry. So it was really like the Lord was ringing a bell, you know, and saying, hey, yes, this was important as a pastor to your flock. Yes, as an under-shepherd, you had to do it to be faithful to the chief shepherd. But I've got some other things in mind here too. And the Lord knew I'd had a heart for pastors. Pastors have been on my heart more and more through the years. I loved being a pastor in two churches those 25 years. I've loved even more now for 5 years traveling among the churches and helping and encouraging pastors. People say, do you take counseling appointments anymore? Basically, no. I still counsel a lot, but it's almost always with pastors and their families or their leaders when I'm out on the road and staying in their homes and all. Most of the time I'm teaching about this subject. kind of shift from counseling to equipping counselors, from being a pastor to equipping pastors and helping them. And I've had a heart for pastors. I don't even know how to express what pastors face and go through. I mean, if I got real specific, you'd almost swear soon, boy, he has quite an imagination, you know, or it couldn't be all like that. I mean, it's beyond walking on water on your hands, blindfolded, you know. Pastors, what they face, it's just phenomenal. The impossibilities, the joys, the blessings are also beyond measure. But the warfare, the perplexity, the day-by-day surprises that can turn you from a tranquil Sea of Galilee to an absolute hurricane in 15 minutes or less. And my heart has been building for pastors through the years. And when we sent the letter, and I wrote the letter to the pastors offering it, first I was overwhelmed at the response. But then I began to say, Lord, this is a lot of your answer to my prayer. Years ago I asked the Lord, Lord, is there any way I could somehow encourage and help pastors and those in ministry or those who are preparing for ministry or want to minister more? And 5 years ago, this changed the entire course of the ministry God had given to me and my dear wife. And Brian was the first one on the phone to order those tapes. We put the letter out. 2 days later, he was on the phone. We want all those tapes here at Vista. And the next thing I knew, he asked me at a pastor's conference at Costa Mesa, hey, our camp's coming up in a couple months. You think you could take those 22 hours and do like an hour, hour and a half every day at camp and kind of an overview of it? And I never even thought about it. I said, wow, Brian, that sounds super. I said, the study falls into five or six pieces anyway. And I said, let's do it. Let's be praying and see what God does. And we had folks from Calvary Chapel Vista there who had gone through the long study with us. And they said, Bob, you've got to go back down the hill and do that for the whole congregation. Having it concisely put in 6 hours brought that whole 22 hours together and in perspective. So I received that counsel. We came down the mountain and did it. And someone said, as long as we're doing it, why don't we just invite the Christian public? And we were still broadcasting on K-Wave at that time. I think it was the fourth of our fifth years there before we started traveling and stopped that. So we announced over K-Wave that we were going to have it. And people came to that all-day Saturday overview from every Southern California county. Some folks came as far away as Modesto. And it was another clangling, and the bells are ringing. It's another wake-up call. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, what is going on? I knew this is important. I know there's a hunger and a need, but I never dreamed. I underestimated the dimensions of it. And then the next thing I knew, pastors were calling from near and far. Hey, that seminar we heard you did at Calvary Irvine, how about coming out and doing it next month on this Saturday at our place? And before I knew it, in four steps of about approximately 25% of the ministry at a time, I passed on a quarter of my ministry four times in a row over about a year and a half period to my dear friend, dear, dear friend and associate of 5 years, who now is the pastor of Calvary Chapel Irvine. We call him John, not the radio host, Stewart. He got so weary of saying, no, I'm not that John Stewart. So we just nicknamed him, John, not the radio host, Stewart. And then he took the last 6 months I was there. I was only teaching Sunday mornings only and spending hours every week with John, praying with him and for him, and comforting him that he soon would be the pastor. And then since then, I've traveled near and far teaching a lot on this subject, sometimes on related pieces of the heart of it, like the Growing in the Grace of God class that many of you have taken, and sometimes Contending for the Faith, which takes these issues and extends them out beyond counseling to many other arenas, and then other issues like the church and so on. That's what's behind this. And basically, it's kind of in my own heart and life a culmination of 20 plus years of study and living in counseling. And again, I know I don't have all the answers that God has for our lives or for how He wants to counsel, but I sure have tons more of them than I did 20-some years ago because God's faithful to speak when we cry out. And you'll see, probably as we go along, that I'm noticeably convinced that God does have all the answers. And I love to let the Word say that and think out loud together of the implications of that, both for God's way and warning about man's way. So that's kind of a perspective on where we are, where we're going, who God is making of me and what He's laying on my heart and why a class like this. After we did that kind of seminar up at camp, we did one down at Irvine, Brian said, "Hey, we have this school of ministry down at Vista. Would you come down and teach a 9-week, kind of a short, Counseling God's Way?" And I did. That was the first time I taught down here, and that just deepened our friendship, took it from a friendship of about 5 years to now about 5 years more of a partnership. And I praise God for this opportunity and men like Brad Lambert and others who feel this is a very significant issue to give attention to. So with that in mind, let's plunge into the Word. That kind of gives a framework of thinking and preparation for direction. The first arena of study has to do with what counseling is. What counseling is. This is a perfect biblical place to begin. The reason being, if we're going to study counseling God's way, let's get God's definition. I mean, if we're going to study about how to counsel God's way, let's ask God to tell us what this is about, what the whole subject is. Counseling God's way. What counseling is. And we'll look at three aspects of it. If we look at the issue of the Lord as counselor, and then counseling and discipleship, and then counseling and sanctification, we have a very strong biblical understanding, a starting point for what counseling is. Now, in a while, we'll go to a classic verse. Just refer to it now. We won't turn to read it because it's familiar, but we'll look to it in a while. And that is, as we start these Old Testament verses, we'll do some Old Testament verses on the Lord as counselor, and then some New Testament verses. If you just want to jot at the top of the Old Testament ones, Isaiah 9:6, where the prophetic titles given to Messiah, and His name shall be Wonderful Counselor. One of the titles of the Lord, one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, is Wonderful Counselor. That's a great place to anchor our thinking, because I really believe biblically that the critical truth where we want to anchor our thinking is right here. The Lord is the counselor. In fact, it's His name. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Here's the great issue. This is the great divide. This is what begins to change everything when you consider counseling God's way. In the kingdom of man, man counsels man. In the kingdom of God, God counsels man. That's the ultimate radical difference. Everything we're going to look at in this course is somehow related to that. Either in the what it is and how to do it, as well as watch out for what is being substituted for what it is and how to do it. This is the critical issue. Now, we'll elaborate on this in, you know, dozens of directions. But if we don't anchor our thinking here, we are drifting off course all the rest of the way. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What is counseling from God's perspective? Here's what it's all about. It's about this truth, the Lord being the Counselor. Let's think in the Old Testament for a while about the Lord as Counselor. Psalm 32, verse 8. God speaking to His people through His servant David here. And God says in Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God has taken upon Himself the role of being our instructor, our teacher, our guide, our counselor. I will do it. I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. I'll guide you, or that word is often translated in many versions, counsel you. I will do it. God has taken this role upon Himself. It's not something man does. Something God does. I will guide you. That is, I will counsel you. And the Lord instructs us and teaches us in the way we should go. Man counsels to find a way that works for you. Hey, find something that works for me. Hey, give me a way to walk that works for me. You know, something that's true for me and good for me. Maybe others won't accept it, but you know, just show me the way that works for me. That's not how God counsels. God counsels in the way we should go. He knows the path that carries divine necessity with it. The way we should go, the way we've got to go, or it's disaster. He's not just counseling us to find something that kind of experientially works. He's counseling us in the way we must go, you know, the way of life, the way of life. Then Psalm 73:24. Psalm 73, verse 24. Here the psalmist confesses a great truth. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. This is to be our confidence for time and eternity. That throughout time, God will guide us with His counsel if we let Him, if we look to Him, if we trust Him to. And afterward, what will He do? As we're walking along that path of His counsel, He'll just receive us right into glory. He'll just continue it in heaven forever. You know? The Lord is our counselor. Let's hop down a little to Psalm 23. Psalm 33, 18 through 22 and 25, 12 through 15 just sort of restates what we just looked at. Psalm 23 takes a little bit different direction for a while. There are many other places, like the verses we've listed, where the Lord in the Old Testament says, I will counsel you, basically takes the counseling responsibility upon His own shoulders. But there are a lot of other Old Testament verses that have significant counseling implications in light of this truth. The truth being, the Lord is the counselor. Now, with that truth as a given, which the Scriptures make very bold and clear in many places, there are a lot of other Old Testament Scriptures, and in a while New Testament ones, that have very significant counseling implication and application given this truth that the Lord is the counselor. For example, Psalm 23. The Lord is the Counselor. But the one who is the Wonderful Counselor is also the Good Shepherd. The one who wants to counsel us, look what He is and is able to do as He counsels. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I think we only listed three verses, but really we can't stop there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad the Church of Jesus Christ has shown such great interest in giving attention to this psalm at the death and passing and funerals and all of that. Praise God. That's a great time for it. But it was designed especially for the living. You know? I mean, it's great at that time. I've taught out of that at moments like that too and been comforted at moments like that. But this is a psalm for everyday living. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. That's today. That's now. The one who is our wonderful counselor, he's also our shepherd, our guarder, our provider, our caretaker, our helper, our protector. And because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We'll have everything we need if we walk under his shepherd care. So many people out seeking counsel. You know what they really need to be reconsidering? Who is their shepherd? Therefore, where and how are they going to get everything they need? It's right here in Psalm 23. Our wonderful counselor is also our shepherd. Therefore, we shall not want. We shall have what we need. And he who is our wonderful counselor, if we let him counsel us, as he counsels, he will shepherd, provide, and care. He'll make us lie down in green pastures. A lot of people seeking counsel, you know what they really need? Just lie down for a while, spiritually speaking, in green pastures. Just slow down. Therefore, where and how are they going to get everything they need? It's right here in Psalm 23. Our wonderful counselor is also our shepherd. Therefore, we shall not want. We shall have what we need. And he who is our wonderful counselor, if we let him counsel us, as he counsels, he will shepherd, provide, and care. He'll make us lie down in green pastures. A lot of people seeking counsel, you know what they really need? Just lie down for a while, spiritually speaking, in green pastures. Just slow down, lie down, and let the Lord feed you for a while. A lot of people seeking counsel, they're just in a frantic frenzy, undernourished, weak, and on the edge of a panic. Now the Lord understands and He cares. And many of them can have the deepest needs of their heart met just slowing down, lying down as it were, just resting a while with the Lord in green pastures. I mean, spiritually speaking, here are the green pastures. There's a lot of weed fields out there. Not wheat fields, weed fields. You know? With a lot of humanistic thinking, you know. Not fields of grain, but just fields of weeds, you know. Wild things. Non-productive things. Not nurturing. Just growing, but not healthy. The Lord loves us to lie down in green pastures. Just rest a while and get fed. Our wonderful counselor, who's also our shepherd, he leads us beside the still waters. A lot of people seeking counsel, they just need some quiet times of refreshment. Just quiet times of refreshment with the Lord, with another brother or sister, depending on the situation, brother getting with brother, sister with sister, just to be refreshed with the still waters. The peaceful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit. Considering again, what is the Christian life all about anyway? Verse 3, He restores my soul. God's restoration projects. Oh, the man's recovery programs. Oh, they're popular in these days. You know, restore my soul, recover me, put me back into what I should be. Hey, how about the Good Shepherd? He restores my soul. He can put our soul, our inner life, back into the state it ought to be in. No one can do it like He can do it. And He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How many people seeking counsel? They are just driven with a passion or a panic. They've got to find the right path to take in life. Decisions, choices, options. I mean, here it is. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The right paths, the righteous paths. And not just for a feel-good experience for me, or that takes care of that decision. Much bigger than that. For His name's sake. He'll put us on the right paths, and it will end up honoring His name. Boy, how's that for counsel? We're not talking about a quick fix here, you know. We're talking about a life path that the shepherd is leading us on. This is the same one who's our wonderful counselor. How about just hanging out with Him? You say, yeah, but I need help in that. He knows that. That's why we are to counsel one another, as we'll see later down the road. He uses instruments of sheep ministering to sheep, but sheep only have to give what the shepherd gives them. How can a sheep help a sheep? Here comes a wolf. Hey, no problem, I'll take care of you. Yeah, bah. Why am I not comforted? But the good shepherd, oh, hey. That's another matter. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, many people are in the deep valley of darkness. The shadow of death. It's like death is casting a shadow over them. Many people live daily in what you could call the valley of the shadow of death. Just in a deep place of darkness. Confusion, fear, apprehension. Here's the great thing. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we all get our treks through there. I know that from the Word of God. I know that from watching Jesus in the Scriptures. I know that from watching great men of God like Moses and Paul and others. And I can bear witness by my own testimony. We all get our treks through the valley of the shadow of death, where everything just looks like it's dark and dying and impossible, no way through and on. And fear threatens from every side. I've been there. I may be there again. But praise God, the more we walk with our shepherd, we can say this. Yeah, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to dread all the evil that lies around me. Why? For You are with me. This is not whistling by the graveyard. This is not the unpower of positive thinking. This is faith based on fact. I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Because the Lord's there. Not because we're somebody. Not because we just refuse to be afraid, you know. All those things will run out some sooner or later. Someone big enough with a big enough boo. We'll just bring that to the end, you know. It's like, no, that's not. I need more than that. I'll fear no evil. Right in the valley of the shadow of death, when all looks like darkness and dying. Why? For You are with me. And with us, as a shepherd, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The rod to beat off the enemy, the wolf. The staff with the crook to pull us out of the pits, out of the mess. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yes, in this world we have a vicious enemy, whipped at the cross and by the resurrection, but he won't stop fighting till he's thrown in the pit. But right in the presence of our enemies, the enemy and all those who are cooperating with him, wittingly or unwittingly, the Lord prepares a table before us, right there. All the way from food to eat, to spiritual nourishment when all around is the enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Of course, the picture of a shepherd anointing the injured or needy sheep, but in such a way that there's just overflowing blessing. To apply this to New Testament believers who can walk in the fullness of the Spirit, the Lord anoints us, the Spirit upon us, till the cup of our life just overflows. A lot of Christians that are seeking counsel, they really need, many of them, nothing other than just letting the wonderful counselor, who's also their shepherd, just anoint their head with oil. That is, pour out the Spirit upon them until the cup of their life just overflows with His presence and His work. Well, I tell you, when the Lord is doing that, you can have 100 counseling problems being dealt with simultaneously by one work of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And look at the assurance we can walk in as we walk with our shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great assurance that all the way through this life we have this assurance that God's goodness and God's mercy will be right there with us. His goodness to supply what's needed with loving intention, and His mercy to be sure we don't get what we deserve. You know? What a shepherd. And He'll do it all the days of our lives. Yeah. Even today. Today. He'll also do it those other dreaded days. Yesterday, He was doing it, whether we saw it or not. And tomorrow He'll do it. And then, when that's all done, we'll just live in God's house forever. That's the path of walking with the Good Shepherd, who also is our wonderful counselor. If the sheep of God's pasture would just, as it were, cuddle up close to their wonderful counselor and find out He is their Good Shepherd, and walk with Him day by day, I think we would be blown away at what a wonderful counselor He is. Oh, I love these Old Testament verses that have such mighty implications in light of this truth. The Lord is the counselor. Well, if we spend that much time on every passage, we'll be here 12 months. Let's hop on to the next page to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 18. Oh, this is a great one. Think of the implications of this truth in light of the fact that the Lord is the counselor. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Some versions translate that last part, and save such as are crushed in spirit. Life comes like a stone sometimes, crushing us, breaking our hearts. No one is likely to go through life without a broken heart. Think of that. What a vain dream to think that we can go through life without a broken heart. Look at the Lord Jesus. He died of a broken heart. And look at His saints of old, the ones He used. Seems the more their hearts were broken, the more God used them. I don't know if God's through breaking my heart. If He is, that's fine. But I doubt it. I doubt it. I used to run and hide from a broken heart. Don't get in those places where your heart can get broken. How do you hide from God? Can't even hide from the devil. He's quite a heartbreaker too. But never for good reasons. But even if he breaks our heart, as God puts it back together, it's as good as if God had broken it. He gets the same purpose out of it, the same use. Sometimes folks say, I'll never find the counsel I need. My heart is so broken, so shattered, or crushed, this one phrase could be rendered. I'll never find the counsel I need. Listen, God specializes in the broken heart and the crushed spirit. It's like those are the ones He does His greatest work in, and ultimately then through. See, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The brokenhearted feel like they're totally cast off, isolated, rejected, and even out of God's love. The truth is, the Lord's never nearer than when the heart is broken. He's never more available to be more intimately known than when the heart is broken. What a counselor that is, huh? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And He saves, He rescues, He delivers such as have a crushed spirit. What a wonderful counselor. So many seeking counsel, they need just this kind of ministry from the Lord, and no one can offer it like the Lord Himself. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas. This is probably a design for California Christians. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. What a great truth this is. See, the Lord is our counselor. And I'll add this truth. The Lord who is our counselor, He also is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Yes, even if the world is falling apart and shaking, He's still our refuge in us and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Do you ever feel like, does it ever seem like, the only thing that will be appropriate, that would possibly help, is a perfect place to hide in safety? Well, God is our refuge. We can seek refuge in Him. We can do it anytime, any place, whether we're alone or with multitudes. We can hide in the Lord, as it were, by faith. Seek refuge in Him. A protecting, sheltering, hiding place. He's a refuge, a place of safety. You ever feel like if God doesn't give strength, you'll never have any? Well, God is our strength. Oh, so many seeking counsel are asking, how can I be strong? Oh, the world's got its ways. Well, you look in the mirror and tell yourself you're strong. I am strong. I'm getting stronger every day. That's very weak. Someday that mirror will look back and say, who are you kidding? But God is our strength. How many people seeking counsel, if they would just consider, if God would just use us to share with them, or if we need to hear, here it is. God is our strength. Life in Christ is designed to be lived not by human strength, not even religious consecrated zeal. It's designed to be lived by the strength of God at work in us. This one who is our counselor, who is our shepherd, he's our refuge and our strength. I mean, we're talking about some counselor here. The more I study the Word of God and who the Lord is, and in light of it, Him being the counselor and being all those things, I look at what man offers and I go, oh my goodness. We're back to shooting BBs at dragons to try and help people. With man, using man's theories to help man? Why, that's anemic next to this. What person can you go and hide in? What person can you go to and say, he's my strength? We try to lean on people like that, but they can't do that. They can't take it. Why? Because they're not God. One of the best ways to wipe someone out is treat them like they're God. A lot of husbands and wives wipe each other out, putting all their hope in each other. Well, it's absolute. I mean, I'm no prophet, but I know what that's going to come to. Somebody's going to be disappointed. God is our refuge and strength. And you, someone might say, yeah, but you don't get it. I'm in trouble. A very present help in trouble. The more that the trouble, the more very is His presence. You know, just, I'm there for you. A very present. Not just, you know, He's hanging around sometime. You might get His attention if, you know, if it really was that urgent. No. He's a very present help. He's right there on the job when the troubles come. And He's our counselor. Psalm 55. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved, that is, shaken until they're just wiped out, moved aside. Again, how many seeking a word of counsel? They're doing it because they're so burdened down. Let's face it, the loads of life get heavy. Responsibilities, demands, expectations of people, duties, needs, hopes, dreams, relationships, heartaches over what was done wrong, apprehension over what yet needs to be done right. I mean, the burdens just come in a thousand directions. Here's what we're called to do. Cast your burden on the Lord. It's a picture of rolling it over off our shoulders, just kind of tipping, letting it dump on the Lord. And He shall sustain you. He'll carry us through. He won't permit His righteous ones, His children, to be moved, that is, shoved aside, out of His path, wiped out, shaken to destruction. He won't. He's faithful. One more, and then we'll take a break. Psalm 62. When we were broadcasting Living in Christ Ministries, broadcast in Dallas, Texas for a lot of the years I was there, we were going to go on this big 100,000 watt station. Was an opportunity to go there instead of this other one we were on, and they agreed to pray about putting us on, but they wanted one of our tapes to hear what the teaching was about and like. And I asked our radio engineer and dear friend Nathan there in Dallas, I said, Nathan, send him the one on Psalm 62, and it was titled Jesus Only. They got the tape. We got a phone call a couple days later. Are you some of those Jesus Only Pentecostal group, you know? There's no Father, no Son, it's all Jesus. And I said, no, that's not the point of that. That's not the point of that title. He said, oh, phew, well, then we'll go ahead and listen to it. And they listened to it, and we did end up broadcasting on there for years. But this is a psalm about all we need is Jesus. Jesus only is all we need. Kind of taking this psalm, bringing it up into the New Testament age in which we walk. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul waits silently for God alone. Oh, if we'd learn that. What a great part of counseling to encourage and help people to wait on God alone. Not wait on man, but wait on God. That is, hope in God. And sometimes it's good to do it silently. Not that it's wrong to share and speak and all that, but sometimes it's good to just silently put our expectations in God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. That's right. Not someone else, not some church group, not some church leader, not some famous Christian example, not some great author, not some human Christian psychological counseling expert, but He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is that solid rock I stand on. He only is my salvation, that is my rescue from and through and unto all that He wants to save me from and save me through and save me for. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. In God is my salvation and my glory. If I'm going to be saved or rescued, if I'm going to see anything glorious, it's in God. The rock of my strength and my refuge, my hiding place is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Do you know, can you even imagine how many multiplied kinds of counseling needs just those four verses speak into right there? If we just let God counsel us with those four little verses of truth and started passing those on to others as well, we'd probably be part of a little mini revival, you know. God alone. Oh, it's the ultimate counseling word to teach folks to trust in, stand on, hide in, walk with, expect of God alone. He is our salvation. The implications of these verses in light of the fact that the Lord is our wonderful counselor, they are enormous. They let us know what He can do if we'll let Him counsel us. What He can do through us to others if we'll let Him use us as an instrument of His counsel.